All right, so here we are, Worldwide Live over the internet through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible for us. Thank you for listening in. My name is Gijs Minderhout. It is today Monday, October the 17th, 2016. It's a Monday call. I have not seen the announcement email yet. We can go any direction with a Monday call. So we'll see what happens. Thank you for being here. Let's see, we had more people join in on the conference call, as this is always a simulcast with a conference call. I welcome the next caller. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Good evening, Gijs. It's Cleo from Connecticut.
Welcome back, Cleo. Welcome. How are you?
Well, thank you. How are you?
All right.
Good.
And who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
Lena in Sedona.
Welcome back. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How
All right, you? Thank you. All right. And I just noticed the email has come in. All right.
Yeah, I got mine about 15 minutes ago.
All right. Oh, yeah, see, mine also is also like... All right, let's open the envelope. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi, this is Bonnie in Corona, California.
Welcome, Bonnie. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. I'm always glad to be here.
All right, great. All right. And it's an open mic tonight, the election and whatever. All right. We never used to or barely ever paid any attention to the politics. But this year with this... But these elections, things, it's very important that more of what is he knows is being spread under all those who are interested in hearing it.
Very
it's a very, I agree with him. It is a very, we're in a very critical point over here with these elections where we will be going. Politically. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Bob Sampson, Washington.
Hello, Bob. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Did I miss anyone? If so, then please grab the mic and say hi. All right. And again, thank you all for being here. We are at the clock of six. We are still waiting for Winfrey. He is taking care of all the calls and all, everything. He's taking care of everything, Winfrey. And I'm so glad that I have gotten to know him online and that he is doing what he's doing with doing these conference calls. It's a great source of information, of being grouped, well-intended people. It is awesome. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Gijs. Hi, everybody.
I welcome you, Don. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.
All right.
Hi, Don. Hello.
All right. And all those who are joining in online through BBS Radio, thank you for being here. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, this is Steve from Wyoming.
Hello, Steve. Welcome. How are you?
Hey, doing just fine. Thank you.
All right. And I thank you for being here.
Hey.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Well, it's Chris in Memphis.
Chris, my brother. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good, good. Thank you, man.
All right.
All right. And again, those who came on board here lately on the conference call, actually on the radio show online, thank you for being with us. As the subject line indicates in tonight's announcement email, it says open mic, the election or whatever. The election and whatever. Let me correct. and whatever else comes up. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, hi. This is Joni in St. Louis.
Hi, Joni. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. And today is Monday, and 2 days from now, on Wednesday, we will have again a conference call at Simulcast with a radio show on BBS. And on Wednesdays, you can submit questions, which Wynn will address during channeling to the Elohim. So you can have a live answer on your question, possibly. I welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. There's the helicopter. Well, thank you for being here. Please say your name and location. If you want to. And the next caller, welcome you. You want to please say your name and location.
It's Roger in Austin.
Welcome back, Roger. Thank you for being here. All right. And Sundays, we have our most popular call, which is, we used to call it the grid healing call. It is a hour call where Wynn discusses in the first hour one of the topics. And then in the second hour, we have a live channeling session. We do a personal and planetary healing. We had somebody else come in through the back door with a nice suit on. I like your tie. What is your name and location?
My name is Winfrey.
Thank you, Wynn, for being here.
Oh, well. Where can I find such a loving group of people around, huh? Hey, I'm just, did I hear Chris on there?
You did. You recognize my noises now.
I recognize that.
Yeah.
Not bad, huh?
I'm in the red light district.
Yeah. Hey, Hive? Hive?
Yes?
Just for the heck of it, I'm trying another headset. This is normally the one I use. It's usually pretty good.
It doesn't sound the best.
Yeah, but tell me what you think of this one. Hang on.
It's on the old one. Let me mute the lines first.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Okay. You put any new one already, I guess.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, you sound in the background, kind of.
Wait.
Hello?
Yes, that's better.
Huh?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Is this better than the other one?
I can't tell. This sounds just great, so I would stick to this, yes.
Okay.
With the other one, we were not muted yet, so couldn't clearly tell.
Okay, well, just for the heck of it, let me switch to the other one. I just want to get the feeling for it. Hang on.
All right. Welcome to those people that just joined in with the call over here. Thank you for being here. We are still doing a little microphone test, etc.
Hello. Hello, yes. Hello. Here's the other one.
This is the other one. It's as good. They're both just good right now.
All right. And I'll keep this one. Okay?
All right.
Good. Thank you.
All right, so here we are. I welcome all those people on BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. It is 6:06 on this Monday, and yes. We have not got our own recording yet. We are muted. When do you want to get it going? By the way, Terry is not here.
Terry is not here?
No.
Well, who
there she is.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
I'm here.
I thought she was here, okay?
Please help me come in.
Did we have somebody new on the line tonight?
No, everybody has. Also, Steve, it all have been with us before. I'm not certain, of course. We might have new people. Everybody's saying hi, and we have BBS.
Okay. Well, let's get started. And
this conference is being recorded.
This is October 17th, 2016. Winfrey in Sedona. And Terry Brown in Sedona, and
yes,
we are
doing the last day
for filing your taxes on extension.
I see. Well, thank you for letting everyone know. And maybe there's one person out there that's going to be on the up all night saying, oh, my God, I forgot.
Oh, my God. That would usually be me, but not this year.
That would usually be you.
I saw five lines hanging up just now.
All right.
Pardon?
Oh, gotta go.
No, just kidding.
So, We're doing an open mic tonight, and you know, in the collective right now, this election is like the biggest thing that's happened since God knows what. Probably there were various wars when there were different announcements that got lots of attention. But this is an incredible election, I think, and it's a difficult election. And I've talked about this before, but I'm going to bite my tongue at least for a while and let everybody express anything they want or anything else they want. It doesn't, I don't know. We'll try. We should be able to keep it on the election topic. And just to get everybody in the mood, you know, I looked up some quotes on politics, and I thought they were really great. And I sent them out, but I'll read a couple, okay? This is from John Kennedy. Let us not seek the Republican answer or the Democratic answer, but the right answer. Let us not seek to fix the blame for the past. Let us accept our own responsibility for the future. I thought that was great. And here's another one, Martin Luther King Jr. The hottest place in hell is reserved for those who remain neutral in times of great moral conflict. I thought that's a great one, okay? And, you know, when I started talking about the election, I actually had a lot of resistance. I said, I'm supposed to be talking about the Elohim. And of course, if anyone is new here, we have a lot of people that have been coming to our calls for quite some time. And we don't usually do this kind of a call. But since I think it's important and it's my call, I said, I want to do it and let everyone. Maybe there'll be some things that come true here that if some of you are wondering, it'll help you make up your mind. Maybe your mind's made up and you want to share your point of view, okay? Here's another one. Bad politicians are sent to Washington by good people who don't vote. And Abraham Lincoln, that was William Simon. Abraham Lincoln said, the ballot is stronger than the bullet, okay? And then here's another one. This is from Joseph Stalin. It is enough that people know that there was an election. The people who cast the votes decide nothing. The people who count the votes decide everything. What do you think of that one, Hive?
It makes me laugh, and I think there's quite a bit of truth behind it.
Here's another one. This is from Milton Friedman. I don't know who he is, but if you put the federal government in charge of the Sahara Desert, in 5 years there'd be a shortage of sand. Okay. And here's another one that probably fits for this election for some people. Democracy is being allowed to vote for the candidate you dislike least. Democracy is when, there's another good one. Who is this one from? Aristotle, okay? Pat, look at this. This is just as appropriate now as the time of Aristotle. Democracy is when the indigent and not the men of property are the rulers. And here is Margaret Thatcher, and this sounds like a woman here, representing a woman's point of view. I am extraordinarily patient, provided I get my own way in the end. The activist is not the man. This is a very good one from Ross Perot. The activist is not the man who says the river is dirty. The activist is the man who cleans up the river. Ralph Nader, I once said to my father when I was a boy, "Dad, we need a third political party." And he said to me, "I'll settle for a second." All right. Now this is credited to Martin Luther King, "The darkest place in hell, reserved for those who maintain their neutrality in times of moral crisis." I like that one. Dante Alighieri. So I don't know if it came from Martin Luther King or him, okay? And Napoleon said, "In politics, stupidity is not a handicap." You know, it's just amazing how these things that were a long time ago are just as valid today as they were then, okay? And, okay, that's all I'm going to read. Now I'm going to open up the lines, and I'll bet nobody says anything. Okay, but we'll see.
No, I want to say something.
Okay, well, let me open up the lines and let somebody else start, and then, so we don't take advantage of being in the power position here, okay? If they want to start, okay?
All callers are unmuted.
Trump will be allowed to win, only to be blamed for the coming financial crisis. That's the headline I just read.
Trump, okay.
They say he's going to win by a landslide. The elite already know this. It may be like 80% of the votes or 90%, something like that. But they're going to deliberately blame everything since Bush, all on Trump. They're going to blame everything on him.
Okay.
Because they hate him so much.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Anyone else have a comment?
Hey, I'll say something. It's Chris.
Go ahead.
What I understand, they're both cabal, but Hillary, there's different factions, kind of the cabal, and now they're kind of doing infighting because they know that their time's about up, and a lot of them are trying to make deals. Some of them are trying to get off planet. Some of them are trying to get underground bunkers, and they're starting to fight with each other. And that's what I understand.
Yeah, they're both in the cabal, right?
I'd like to know who they is.
Well, I think
Clinton and Trump, they're just, you know, you have different facts, even though they work together, you know, and they all have the same goals. Now it's kind of all falling apart, and you got the Rockefeller faction, you got the Rothschild faction, you got the Eastern factions, and now there's a bunch of infighting starting to go on because of all the, because they know it's about up, you know. Their time
Michael
is up.
Adler, I'm glad you're here because you can help clear everything up for everyone. Go ahead.
Very cool.
Now he's not going to talk.
No, well, there's, look, you know, I mean, this is a very unusual time. It's a very unusual time when it's not about who you're for, but who you're against.
Okay. All right.
And you know, when people used to ask me, why is Trump running? And I said, to make sure that Hillary wins. And you know, when you think about it, why would John McCain pick Sarah Palin to be a vice presidential candidate other than to make sure Barack Obama won?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I follow all this stuff, but I'm pretty detached from them because I know what we're working towards and how everything's going to unfold, and I know how everything works, and
I really would like to know how it's all going to unfold. Please, let me know. Well, maybe I should wait for the movie to come out.
There's something going on behind the scenes where work until we're in the, what they call the event, let's say, where we're going to have the, all the cabal, a lot of the cabal is getting arrested. They're trying to make deals. They're trying to get off planet. There's a financial reset, UFO disclosure. So, as we're going towards ascension. There's a lot of going on behind the scenes. You're not going to ever see it on the news.
Well, there's no right. You know, there's just no clear right here. You know, there's just it's a very tough situation, and what it does, it drives everyone to look a little bit farther within, I think, to see what's important to you.
Yeah.
And the people, I'm working
on myself and increasing myself, and I'm just kind of saying detached from it because did Terry
speak up?
No, I've got something to say. I noticed in writing, as a writer, if you go on and on and on, it's because you don't really get the succinct issue, and you're trying to express it, and you're trying to express it, and you go on and on and on, and so it sounds real complicated. When you can boil it down to simple issues, and you say, oh, that's how it works, oh, that's what's going on, then you get closer to the truth. So what's going on here? There's all this confusion and chaos, and people are talking about this and that, and so I think that there's some point that none of us are giving. And if it were known, then the whole thing would become more simple.
What point is that?
The law of one.
Well,
everybody else.
Yeah. What?
Yep. We need a candidate campaigning for the law of one. Where's Marshall? We have a guy on our calls that's running for president as a write-in. Okay?
That's right. Yeah.
I heard about you on that radio interview you did.
On the law of one platform, okay?
Awesome.
I told him I'm not going to endorse him. Because
the law of one party.
It's 3 weeks before the election, and there is no chance that he can make a tiny impact. I mean, maybe he'll have a passion and keep this going. If we can go another 4 to 8 years where we still have elections, who knows? Maybe he'll get elected. But
somebody brought up on the call a thing called the Light Party once, and I was looking at them online. They talk about issues. They have a lot of good ideas about issues, which is what government should be involved in, not politics.
Mm-hmm.
Politics shouldn't even be allowed in government. Should just be concentrating on fixing any problems.
Well, you know, I'm aware of the Light Party, okay? And I think the guy that is the spearhead of that is fairly high-intentioned. But I think he's being tricked. And a lot of people are being tricked. I'm not going to go into this.
Let me interrupt a second. He might be being tricked, but if you actually look at, you know, he's got a lot of good ideas about different things like farming and stuff. You know, he's not being tricked.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. But here's the area where he's being tricked, at least the last time I looked at him, is, you know, when I first started writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I was considered myself New Age, okay? And, you know, some years ago, I was getting exposed to the New Age idea that we're moving into a new world. The whole world's going to change. We're going to have a world of love and light. Everyone's going to love each other. There's going to be compassion. How many of you all went along with that?
I feel like it's
pardon
really
me while I
sweet feel. Dream.
Yeah. Well, let me just make a point. How many of you all went through that? Let's see. I shouldn't say how many. I should say, are you one of the ones that went through that? Yes or no?
No.
Yes.
Sounds like a good idea.
Sounds like a good idea. Well, you know, there was all kinds of, like, people, like, let's say, conversations with God. There was Marianne Williamson. There was Oprah bringing all these supposedly enlightened people on her show. There was
all the swamis and yogis coming over.
All the swamis and yogis. And A Course in Miracles. And everybody looked happy and was smiling all the time. I actually thought Bill Clinton and Obama, to a lesser extent, but Bill Clinton and Obama were going to be the thrust of that. Because Bill Clinton was really smart. He had a really, what seemed to be a loving smile, okay? And my discernment wasn't high. All the people in Hollywood were for Clinton. The charisma was high, as was Obama's. And I was learning how charisma, I learned this later, charisma was not a good reason to choose something. It took a lot more investigation than charisma. Hillary has charisma, okay? And
Charles Manson had charisma, look at him.
Charles Manson had charisma. Because somebody has charisma doesn't mean they're not talking out of both sides of their mouth. And in fact, people with charisma are the best manipulators on the planet, okay? They are. Because
your emotions.
Yeah. Because they can sway your emotions, right. So now if you ask me about New Age, I would have a whole I've studied this. I'm not going to go into it on this call, okay? And some people might be offended by this. So please, if you're personally offended by what I say, then don't throw away the baby with the bathwater, because we do all kinds of great things. We bring all kinds of great wisdom with the Elohim. We have great energies on our call. And this doesn't represent our calls. It doesn't represent the Elohim. I have not asked them this question, and I don't want to ask them this, because this is the kind of area where I want to have, I don't want to bring them on board on this kind of opinion and say, well, you know, what happens is people ask me, what does the Elohim say? And they think that's the final word. The problem is it's not the final word. And if you studied our material, you know there's negative sources. And when you ask for transitory information, like something like that, you could just as easily get a negative source.
Ask the Elohim and they say, go ask the Ra group. And then you ask the Ra group and they say, go ask the other guys. We can't figure this out.
Where's Mark Angel Michael when you need him, right? That's one of the reasons.
Really?
Shut up, Michael. I'll let you on. Look, Michael, you and I can dominate the conversation. And I don't want to dominate it. But I want to make this very important point. And it was a realization, and it came from a lot of research that, you know, we have learned, and this was in 2000. When I was writing the book, I was studying Wilcock, I was studying the raw material, and I was studying all kinds of things, trying to make heads and tails from my material. And it was said there are a lot of wanderers and star seeds in this realm that came here to wake up the realm. That was why they were here. They chose to come in from a higher dimension
from a place where they graduated this realm, and they came in to be of service. And I believe that's true. And I believe now, and this is a big one, that the negative, what we call the negative, what we call, you know, and there's, I could spend the whole hour talking about the negative, who they are, how they function, and what their agendas are. But the bottom line is they want to control the world. They want to own the planet. They've set their agenda. They'd like to kill 3/4 of the population. They are doing chemtrails. They're doing GMOs. They're doing things that
vaccines
are vaccines, things that are not good for us. They're not good for us. Yet they keep doing it, and they do it on a massive scale, which means they have a lot of power behind things. They have a lot of control, and they kill people that threaten them, all right? So do you think they want a bunch of starseeds and wanderers coming into this realm that know the truth, that can liberate the realm potentially, that have the keys to creation somewhere in them? All of you have the keys to creation in you. Every human does, but particularly if you can stand coming to our calls for a few months, then you are probably a wanderer or a starseed. It doesn't matter how stuck you are or how difficult your life is. It doesn't mean that. You can still be a wanderer and a starseed. And you challenge this life, as I would say it is, if you're a wanderer, is to graduate this realm. Don't get caught up in the maelstrom here, in the negativity, in the negative agendas. And if we can save the realm, then we save it. But if not, at least to hold your own, have no fear of death, and graduate. And then you don't have to come back here. Because this realm may go through a dark age for quite some time. Anything is possible. So the key is, let's contribute to the realm. But don't be attached to saving it. Be detached from results. And I was going back to New Age. I have learned there are so many manipulations in New Age. There were so many ways that it has been tricking people. And no one ever told me this. I have the opinion that the New Age was a deliberate manipulation by the negative. And there's evidence that it was most definitely manipulated by the negative to suck in wanderers and starseeds.
Yep.
And
starting in the 60s with counterculture and LSD and New Age.
Yeah. And not allow them to reach their co-creative part of themselves, where they can actually create the difference that they would like to create. Just as a couple of examples, one of them is A Course in Miracles. If you look that up, the woman who channeled that, and people think it's Jesus. Now, quite frankly, I picked it up and read it, and it didn't grab me. Gary Friedman's book grabbed me. It read me. I could feel the energy. I couldn't feel the energy in The Course in Miracles. It said all these things that I should do and I should forgive, but the energy of the Christ was not, for me, embedded in it. Now, that doesn't mean you can approach it with a positive intent, and it might work for you. It might help liberate some patterns for you. But it did not have the Christ consciousness. You know, psychiatry can liberate patterns for people, and I don't like psychiatry at all. And I don't like the drugs that it does. But nonetheless, you know, lower level things, even Western medicine can sometimes cure you. and sometimes be good. But in general, you know, you have to be very careful about lower level things because they trap you. They trap you. And they're designed to trap you. And, you know, one of the things that I may be wrong here, I may be wrong, but I think one of the groups out there that I think is positive and carries the Christ energy with it doesn't mean it's perfect is Alcoholics Anonymous, okay? And the guy who started it, he kept it decentralized. He didn't try to make a big cult to save everyone. Each group, each chapter runs itself. They in general, what they say and what they do carries Christ energy with it, okay? Things that make you believers, and, you know, I work really hard on the work we do here to just create an environment where people can have an experience that helps them liberate themselves from patterns. And we don't charge for things because that keeps me and Terry purer because, you know, if I was charging, I said, well, I can't talk about Hillary. I can't talk about this. What if they all leave me and then I won't make any money? You know, it's up to you whether you stay or leave because I don't have a vested interest. Doesn't mean I'll never charge for anything. But the whole structure is not designed to make money from you and organize you into followers. So you keep coming back because it keeps working and it keeps waking you up. But you're not a follower. You don't have, you know, it's really hard. That's one of the reasons it's so hard to talk about what we do to someone new because it's like an elephant. It's got so many aspects to it and it's so far out, which it is. I mean, the premises of what we do, having an ongoing rapport with the group soul, the creative universe that sends energy to us, that we can feel their energy, that answers questions, that's wise. You know, what we do is like it's out of the paradigm of this realm. And if you told somebody, you got to hear this, they got a great group soul that was working with Jesus and blah, 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 they'll think you're nuts. So it's kind of like you got to hang in here for a while to get the feel of it, to get the rhythm of it, to get the energy of it. And so, A Course in Miracles is one of those things that her husband, the woman who channeled it, her husband was in the CIA, mind control division. Look it up on the internet, Course in Miracles, CIA. When drugs were first coming out, there's a word that the negative uses. And by the negative, it includes a lot of things. The cabal, the bankers, the masons, high levels of some of the religions, the politicians. And they're not all exactly all together, but there's a thread that runs through them all. And many of them are together. And they have consulting organizations. They have loads of money. They control the newspapers, the media. And, you know, it's one of the biggest shocks of my life as I was studying all of this is that in the 60s, where I'm a product of the 60s and 70s, and I'm still a product of the 80s and 90s and the 2000s, but, you know, being a product of those periods of time, I was in Berkeley and San Francisco when all the hippies were being spawned. And I used to go to the parks and hang out in all the beings. And I used to love the music of the time. I could feel the energy in the crowds when I go to the music concerts. And I didn't overdo it in drugs, but I did some drugs. But what I found out, you know, at that time, there was this phenomena that if you went to certain concerts, they were passing out LSD. It would always happen at a Grateful Dead concert.
Well, it happened to a lot of the psychedelic concerts. And I used to ask myself, where was this LSD coming from? And it was being passed out and by what I'm calling the negative. LSD went through the CIA. They out all this kind of stuff. And the goal was to break down the family unit, and so everyone would be in their own hey man space. And in the family unit makes people stronger. And when everyone's weaker, they can be taken over. This is a long-term plan that's going on now. They want to take over the planet, and it goes from aliens, ETs. And I'm sure of it. That's in the raw material, as a matter of fact. You know, we talked about it at different times, that the Orion group connects with the elite and gets the elite thinking they're on their side, and then the elite enslaves the masses or kills the masses, and then eventually the elite will get killed, and then somebody else is going to own this planet. That's one of the agendas that's taking place right now. And anyone can do their own research on this. I mean, I found the Beatles were a group that was picked by the elite in order to, when they were very young and charismatic, and turned them into big hits and a world-class band, and then bring in drug lyrics, which would then make drug-taking the in thing to do. And if you look at our world right now, you can see that they've succeeded, I'm sorry to say, that drug-taking is all over the place. Not only that, a lot of indications that the CIA, Terry has studied this, as trafficking in drugs to make billions of dollars so they can build their underground caverns for the elite. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is stuff that I'm pretty sure is true. To talk about it with this kind of confidence, I've had to study all kinds of things, do all kinds of cross-referencing. And I said, there's no other explanation for it. This has got to be the truth. And then if you look in the 60s and 70s, things like women's lip was designed to break down the family unit. I mean, men and women can make each other happy. Sex is one of the best things that brings balance on the planet. Good sex, right sex, loving sex. And women's lib made women feel that they couldn't surrender to a man. They had to do their own thing, and broke down the joy that comes from having that balancing. This is my opinion now, and I'm not telling anyone to believe it, but you can do your own research. But women's lib, the Kinsey Report, so many things. Esalon, the guy who was the biggest promoter of drugs, intellectual, the guy by the name of Aldous Huxley. He wrote a book called The Doors of Perception. And
the world.
That
and Brave New World.
Brave New World, yeah.
And Brave New World. And he was working as an agent for this British consulting company. I'm not going to say their name. You have to look it up. I don't, you know, for a long time I don't like to talk about this stuff because I know so much stuff about it. I don't want to be targeted any more than I am, but you know what? It's at the place where you need to know it. This is the truth. And even ETs, this was brought up by a person who talked about the light party. One of the things that runs amongst New Age people is this idea that ETs are going to save us. And people are having experiences of projected realities where they end up on spaceships. But the spaceships are not really spaceships. They're sets. And they think that they're being chosen by ETs to bring this message to the planet. And it's I've talked to people like this. Sometimes people that have this point of view kind of get attracted to my work, but they never get involved. I mean, they get attracted quickly. Oh, and suck into the Elohim. But they never get involved to the point where they can feel the energy, where they can feel the hugeness of it. And I ask myself, why? It's because the stuff they're doing doesn't take them back to creation or their own creative part. They're doing things peripherally that sidetrack their energy. They keep them kind of mind-controlled on things. And because we are creators. We are part of the one infinite creator in a body. And we have the power of creation. And if enough people assumed their power, the world would change. So the goal of the negative is to trick you to pay attention to things that keep you from assuming your power. Because they know if enough people assume their power, they lose. Okay? And, you know, I am like thinking all the time, what do I do next? What do I do next? Because I've ended up being put in this position where the people that connect with our work start getting it, some of them. And if they keep hanging around, it increases their chances. Okay? It's not easy. It's like getting involved in this work is not easy because it surfaces your garbage. It doesn't pat you on the back and say, don't worry, spacemen are coming. We're going to be liberated. You know, Carla Ruckert didn't believe that. The high group souls, that if spaceships land, I believe that's going to be one of the most negative things, even if there's this disclosure. And I would watch it like a hawk because they would have an agenda, and it's not in our best interests. And, you know, part of the agenda of the negative is to bring people to their knees financially, through war, through disease, and then have spaceships land that seem to be here to save us, and they're not. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Okay, I'm going
to... That said, Wynn... you know, there's often times when we see something very fantastic occurring in the news, and it's a bit of a smokescreen for something else that's going on. Mm-hmm. So my question to you is, do you think this presidential election is a smokescreen for something else that's going on? And if so, what is that?
Well... You know, there's a lot going on outside of the election. There's a lot going on where things are breaking down. The economy is very screwed up. Many people say it's beyond repair. The economies of other countries are screwed up. Many people are saying we're going to have the worst collapse ever. And I don't believe that the election is going to stop that collapse. When I look at Hillary and Trump, I mean, as human beings, they're both pretty defective. But my opinion is that Trump may be an oaf, stick his foot in his mouth, say things that he's, you know, he may not be going to live up to, like things. He gives himself open to take things out of context. But there's an area of Trump that seems to have genuine passion. And I don't get genuine passion from Hillary. I get artificial charisma and winning people over through her charisma. That's my take.
A lot of what you see, it might
be... We didn't address the question.
Yeah, it might be her clones.
Like to say that everything on TV is a distraction, to distract you from the truth and reality.
Right, so what is the presidential election a distraction from?
More of the same, just more of the same, to distract everybody from truth and reality, and so they can impose
their tricks over everybody. I think Trump is kind of a wild card. I don't think they manipulated him to run. I could be wrong, but I think to tell you the truth, if he has the passion that he seems to have, and here's the indications. We know that in the New World Order, or whatever, they want a one world government, and they want to break down national boundaries, and the European Union is a big step towards that. Now, this is a difficult thing to look at because on one hand, we talk about group energy. We talk about the power of coming together for a high intent and the way that is able to transform the planet, okay, of ourselves, our small group. And somebody said a small group is the only thing that ever changed the planet. We're like a little grassroots group. And that in general, the idea of group energy with high intent is I would go along with. But group energy with negative intent turns things into black magic, okay? And if there was a one world government with high intent, if I really believed that, I'd probably be saying yes. Because now you have a government that is working for the highest good of all concerned. And it's assigning resources to where they're needed. And it looks for a country that needs help, and we're going to help you. We're going to take the resources here. We're going to have free trade. We're not going to have tariffs, and the world's going to be a better place. But I don't believe that this group has positive intent, and that this whole idea of a one-world order is a manipulation. It's a manipulation to control, because when all the power is centralized in one place, if you don't have one hell of a high intent there, then you have the power for the negative to control that, and then they control everything, okay? So my feeling is...
On the other hand, if we spend all our time talking about that negativity, aren't we becoming kind of a part of the negative? I'd rather hear more about the positive and the Elohim and the contribution rather than the conspiracy stuff.
You know what? I had a really long conversation with somebody today, or a medium long, and it's a very good question. And... The problem is, it's okay to look at things if you don't polarize with them. And you can look at anything if you don't polarize. The problem is, with the negative, it's a real exercise not polarizing. In other words, being detached from results. And because they're in our face right now, there's a lot of discernment that we need to have to know what to do. And without looking at the agendas that are in our face, it's impossible to have that discernment. Okay? One way of looking... Now, we don't normally do a call like this, okay? And we're right on the verge of this election that's rather important. And we do plenty of calls during the week where we bring in the Elohim, we have loving energy, we have support groups for people, They don't talk about this stuff. So, you know, this is an exception to what we normally do. And I do it because I have done so much research on this that I wanted to give a chance to air my research and let other people air their research. And the challenge is to look at the negative and not judge them, not polarize with them. And just, if it's there, it's there. It would be like if you lived in a neighborhood and there was a street where there was a gang. And would you like to know about that gang on that street? Or would you like to discover it by walking through and maybe get sniped or shot or raped or whatever? You know, that's how I look at the negative. It's like learning where not to put your foot. Put your foot in the doo-doo, okay? And staying above it.
That's a very good response. And I was only saying that the percentage, you also have to look at the percentage of time you're dealing with the negative versus the positive, and that has a weight. So I like your answer. That was awesome.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a public figure, and, you know, when we started having this relationship with the Elohim, and first I had to convince myself that it was the Elohim and that it was not compromised, that I didn't have a compromise source, because I knew that was a possibility. And then I said, how am I supposed to work this? How am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to start a religion? Religions start around this kind of stuff. And I said, no, I don't want to start a religion. I don't want to be a figurehead. I want to be myself. I don't want to have to be a guru for people. And it just kept evolving and evolving and evolving. And it still could be more focused. I'm still learning. I have to write another book. I have to make money so Terry can afford to make her house payments. You know, I have music. Maybe I'll get my music out and it'll attract more attention to this other work. But in any case, this is the state of evolution for it. It took me a long time before I was willing to talk like this. And, you know, we can take a moment now. We can take a moment on any of our calls, and we do many times, to bring the Elohim in. And every time they come in, there's magic. People feel the magic. People start having synchronicities. We start having healings. I mean, it blows my mind. But the world is still, we're still in 3D and we're in this world. And connecting with the Elohim doesn't relieve you from coping with 3D, as most of you have learned, many of you have learned. It can help you cope with 3D. Sometimes people make the connection and they start having synchronicities and they attract things to them. But you know what? It's the Elohim is adding to your energy. They don't do it for you. When I first had that healing with my sister, I said to myself, oh, my God, I'm just going to go out in the world and wave my magic Elohim wand, and everybody's going to be healed. But it's way more complicated than that, okay? But listen, thank you for acknowledging me, and thank you for bringing up that topic, because that is an important topic. And I'm not going to do this kind of call all the time or often, but I'll do it. Oh, my God, it's 6:56. Boy, does that time pass fast, okay?
Can I say one last thing? I was going to say there's several possible and probable timelines, and the negative is doing everything they can to suppress humanity off the positive ascension timeline. That's what's going on. That's a way to look at it. And they might experience that timeline. I don't know. But I think since humanity is waking up, a lot of us are, that we can change it with our free will, our consciousness. And I think that's what's happening.
I mean, like, part of talking about the New Age and me coming to the conclusion that there's a lot of collusion with the negative and New Age, that's a hard one for me to say. Because I was, like, really very endeared with New Age for quite a few years, okay? I was. And it matched my idealism. And it was a big thing to say, oh my God, this is, I still wasn't into my creative ability to create. How many of you watched The Secret and How to Change Your Life? Okay. Maybe somebody did, but, and there was truth in it. There was truth in it. There was truth in it. But, you know, one of the things that, as I recall, was not in The Secret was there was, it was very well put about thoughts and thinking, and your thinking creates your life and the power of intention. But I don't recall it making a point of